Welcome to a Podcast on Fire Network bonus episode 4, Kiss of Death. This is the extension of the Director Series 5 on Her Vengeance. And I'm Kennedy, still here, and still with me is Hong Kong Dave. So, Kiss of Death, why are we doing that? It's a movie that came before Her Vengeance, obviously, in the timeline, but Her Vengeance is a remake of Kiss of Death. So, we are launching right into it. Plot, taken from Yes Asia. After getting attacked and assaulted by five men, Chu Ling, played by Qian Ping, contracts Vietnam Rose, a possibly deadly sexual transmitted disease. She's determined to strike back and receives martial arts training from the character played by Shaw Brothers veteran Law Leet, and even teaches herself the finer points of attacking a man's greatest weakness. That weakness turns out to be the most ironic method of revenge for Chu Ling, who seeks out her attackers man by man and applies her bloody form of justice with undeniable satisfaction. So, it's directed by Shaw Brothers veteran Ho Meng Hua, director of Black Magic, Oily Maniac, The Flying Guillotine, The Mighty Peking Man, fun stuff like that. And it's written by future Nomad Boat People Rouge writer Yao Dai Onping. And yeah, Hong Kong Dave, what do you think of this movie in brief?
It's weird because I've always got a bit of the kind of love hate relationship with Shaw films. Mm-hmm. I always find a lot to admire, but there's that classic kind of Shaw's kind of feel, and they don't work for me. But, mm-hmm. I have not seen a whole lot of Shaw's outside of traditional martial arts part of their sort of output. So this is quite new to me. So maybe it's sort of a benefit from repeat sort of viewings, and tune into the style of it a bit more. Mm-hmm. I looked it up and saw it's sort of made in 1973. I was kind of surprised. I thought before I looked it up, I thought it was probably older than that.
So on that, taking this movie on its own value. So is it a yay or nay for it? Based on the fact that you don't get on fully with the Shaw Brothers feeling?
I'm kind of in the middle on it. There's a lot of some great sort of aspects of it. So, mm-hmm. But, I don't know.
Yeah. It helped perhaps to approach it a little bit more when having Her Vengeance in the back of your head, but obviously there's the recognition factor of the certain beats of it. I'm a fair fan of Shaw Bros. I like Shaw Bros. Without being detailed in terms of why I don't like or why I dislike or anything like that. For this one, dare I say it? It's an entertaining, stylish, harsh, and even fun rape revenge flick. That sounds pretty bad, I know. a pretty close remake. By Nam Na Choi, aside for some character relationships being different, like Law Leet not knowing Qian Ping's character, and it even leads to a romance between them. But each movie has its own teeth, kind of. This one doesn't disturb as much, and it's a bit more entertaining and fun, as we'll explain throughout the review. Out of the Shaw Brothers movies you've seen, have you encountered King Boxer, the Law Leet movie?
I probably shouldn't admit to not seeing the whole thing.
Right. Well, maybe you recognize the following thing because you might have seen Kill Bill. The groovy opening credits has a King Boxer style siren. The kind of trademark sound from King Boxer was carried over to Kill Bill. This has that too, which is cool. Stolen from somewhere, probably some other movie. Shaw Brothers movies have tons of stolen music all throughout the years, this movie also doesn't wait until it gets to the revenge part, and you as a viewer think to yourself, nothing good can come out of walking home alone, and then the rape happens, and when I was thinking about it, I had a spit on your grave. I thought that was early 70s. I was completely wrong in the timeline. So Last House on the Left had been made, but still we're early in the sort of rape revenge cycle. I don't know sure brothers ever noticed that and therefore made Kiss of Death based on that, but it's even made before a Thriller, A Cruel Picture, or I call it One Eye. So it's early in that genre, if you will. And but Shaw Brothers were never afraid of genres. They didn't just make martial arts, obviously.
No, they made
tons of the exploitation too. Bruceploitation they fucking made with Bruce Lee and I, starring Danny Lee and Betty Ting Pei as well. She's in it playing herself. So that was never a hindrance. And it must seem goofy to today's viewers that tension music, at least in this case, is akin to more jazzy music. You know, as she walks home and gets even during the rape, I think there's more jazzy percussion-like driven music.
that's one of my notes actually. Some quite unusual musical choices as well. I mean, there's one bit when they're kind of chasing her at the beginning. It almost sounds like the theme from the original 70s version of Hawaii Five-O. It's kind of almost.
If it's before in the timeline, it might have been. I don't know when.
That was late 60s, I think, that's kind of started. Right. But it's almost, it's a sort of a, it's a note or two away from that. It's quite odd. And then you got some kind of slightly, it almost sounds a bit like kind of little kind of prog rock kind of bits as well. And
Well, music is going to play a part in this movie, quite a large part, even during the one of the murder sequences. So, but it's not necessarily tense. Then they do push pretty hard in the actual rape sequence. And fairly new actress, she'd done a movie or two. This was like one of her first big movies. Chen Ping, obviously, has no qualms about doing nudity, and the movie knows that, the production knows that, so obviously we get nudity in this rape scene, and kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre style close-up of her eyes. But I don't think Texas Chainsaw Massacre was out yet, so this was also like, oh, that's from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No, that's sort of, so to say, original, but those, I always draw a comparison to Texas Chainsaw Massacre when you get those extreme close-up of fear in eyes.
Yeah.
So it's effective, obviously, with Marilyn Burns in that movie. And so it's it's Fan Mei Sheng, among other people, who's part of the gangster group here. Chan Shen, the guy who she claws on top of his bald head, was always a staple of Shaw Brothers. Could play any bad guy, and never thought twice about it. It was one of my favorite Shaw Brothers actors. His eyes were always pure evil, and he's seen everything from Intimate Confessions of a Chinese Courtesan to Lost Souls as well. And there was apparently no shame in Shan Chen, and this role is pretty noticeable. Again, you remember her, scratching his head, which is great. And she is also just like Pauline Wong, a character who's working against the world, and one of the two very similar things that turned up in her Vengeance is that she's bleeding, the horrible sight of just bleeding, in this case it runs down her leg, and that was one of the cut sights from her Vengeance, as we spoke about. And here we go to an aspect I was wondering what you thought about. Director Ho Meng-hwa really wants to be stylish, with intense angles, cuts, zooms, and filtered flashbacks. How did that work for you personally?
I didn't mind that. I got bored with that bit. I didn't seem. And then sort of unusual kind of choice to make, kind of, worked in the sort of context of the film, I thought.
Shaw Brothers loved their zooms, especially if you watch old Chang Chien movies. He loved the shit out of that zoom and then some. I always loved when the zoom was not, it was kind of coming in from either right or left and zooming in that way, you know, moving towards the actor but zooming in at the same time, you know, it's a zoom in movement, not from a static, you know, shot head on, which I always liked. It's entertainment to me. This camera language does add, you know, to it, it's there kind of at this stage in the film, in the aftermath of the raid, to add chaos in her mind. You know, the elephant, the elements of life creeps into her head as she's walking the street. You know, traffic is, sound is elevated and shot in that chaotic way as well. So that's what Ho Meng-hwa is trying to communicate in a very, very apparent way. But I thought it worked well. I mean, this movie isn't as dark and it isn't as dark feeling as Her Vengeance, say. That's why I will come to the conclusion that it's a bit more entertaining and even fun. Did you spot Simon Yoon, by the way? Good old Drunken Master, so to say.
I missed that.
In the first scene where he's trying to take advantage of either Chen Ping's character or another girl, Law Leet steps in and stops that.
Oh! Yeah. They're in that little kind of little cubicle type.
Yes.
Bit on the side there, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was a bit. He was a player at Shaw Brothers, Simon Yoon, but unmistakably him, despite not being in the bum outfit, a la Drunken Master, Snake and Eagle Shadow. So, and Law Leet with a cane, not in a wheelchair, but with a cane. I mean, such. You know, I had been at Shaw Brothers for a number of years now, 6 or 8 years, or maybe up to 10 years. Such charisma, such a badass entrance, you know. His strength, you know, in many ways. You know, he's the guy who runs the club, and you don't mess with the guy who runs the club. And I love him in this movie, and I love him overall. I mean, such charisma, playing bad guys often, yeah, hard-edged characters, not good guys often. King Box is a rare example, but he's one of those comfort players at Shaw Brothers that you could watch do anything, and he did pretty much anything because he did so much. Therefore, having not watched many Shaw Brothers movies, do you have any particular relationship to Law Leet as an actor?
No, I mean, he's obviously hugely, you know, familiar sort of figure, but it's not. You know, I've not. You know, I know the face, but I've not. I've seen some of his films, but I can't recall. You know.
Based on this movie, is there something you want to pursue? Did it make an effect on you?
Yeah, I mean, he's, like you're saying, there's, you know, he's like Mr. sort of charisma, really kind of really, you know, stands out, very kind of got a sort of terrific look. Mm. You know, and just real kind of like authority,
and he can bash, you know, with that cane. You know, there's some badass bashing, you know, as he fights apparently for the very first time, like fights for one of his girls, which he doesn't do because his bar is filled with hostesses in this one, including Chen Ping becomes one. She isn't just a cleanup crew or bartender or barmaid. She becomes one of the hostesses, but she's obviously carrying VD, which is her little secret that comes out eventually.
Yeah, that's one of the characters mentions that, didn't you? When he kind of sticks up for her, you know, she mentions, oh, you know, it's the, you know, the first time, you know, he's ever done this.
Yeah, there's some fun things with the equivalent of the character of Susan in Her Vengeance. Here, I don't remember this character's name, but when Chen Ping says she wants to work at the club. This character, the female character, checks her breasts for suitable to see if she's suitable, you know, suitable club meat.
And
it's just matter of fact kind of CD stuff in this world, you know. Can check her, she's all right. And she is, you know, obviously well endowed and all of that. So beautiful too, and well endowed. I haven't seen her in too much, but this one stood out for me, and they obviously like her bosom to the point where they feature her bosom quite a bit on the original painted poster. It's just major cleavage. They might as well have not put any clothes on her on that poster, you know.
Yeah.
So they knew what they were doing, Shaw Brothers, in kind of shameless fun way. Their relationship starts obviously at that point, you know, as this Law Leet's sour and somber character, you know, fights for one of the girls, and in this case, Chin-Ping's character. And you get more of a the choices here in the older movies. You get more of an insight into the community of girls in the club, more interaction between them. You know, they do tell stories of their, you know, their friends, and they spill their heart and all of that. I think one of the girls is telling her that she has serious VD, and that's just graphic retelling of how serious it is for her, you know, what exactly is going on with her. And that is obviously Chen Ping is forced to listen to this, and she knows, oh, I'm so gonna get that, you know, I'm gonna be that sick, you know. They don't spare us in verbally anyway. They shows us as much and tells us as much as allowed, it seems, and just no subtlety at all, and I kind of like that. It's part of the intensity of the movie, camera-wise, and all of that. And then they just are very, very open with the dialogue, you know. There's no like nothing left to the imagination, if you will, in terms of what is going on down there. So, what did you think of the perverted doctor in this movie?
That's really funny because it. He's kind of checking, you know, he's sort of, you think he's just kind of, you know, checking for sort of, you know, heartbeat and all that. And he sort of, and he puts the stethoscope on the other side as well.
I mean, again, the world versus her, and then that doctor, obviously taking advantage. And the doctor in her Avengers wasn't like that, it was just being, you know, a prick anyway, but nothing akin to that, you know. That scene was rather horrible. This is not played for laughs, but it definitely evokes, you know, a snicker in that regard.
And
the soundtrack, even during the examination scene, is rather steamy and sleazy too, so, you know, whoa.
Yeah, there's you definitely see like clear sort of parallels between this and sort of Avengers. I mean, obviously, basic elements of the storyline are there, and some sort of characterizations also, and in the odd sort of you know, specific kind of sort of scenes as well. The opening chase is sort of, there's some sort of similarity there, and obviously, you know, the porno shoot is, you know, is in sort of both as well.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think the villains in Her Vengeance, you get some sort of detail, you know, some you know, in terms of the other kind of sort of activities and things they get up to and that. But here they get considerably more sort of, you know, backstory and screen time.
Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, the movie is just insisting on this intense style, you know, being a visual and oral experience. And even the camera is mounted to the car during the car chase after they rob a jewelry store, which is not common. Definitely not common at Shaw Brothers. It seems like I've never seen this in the few movies I've seen from Ho Meng Hua, that this is, you know, the like over-the-top stylish director, sure, so. But I really dug it. It added to the fun, especially when the movie turns downright silly in the latter stages, in the best of ways, because she is taught kung fu to strike at the crotch, if you will. and there's some classical master student stuff here. Obviously, she wants to follow Lo Li Chi. She wants be my master, please. And that's just straight out of a regular kung fu movie, you know. She follows, you know, him until he agrees. And I don't know. It's so fun to watch Shaw Brothers venture into this type of movie. It presents a counterpart to what most of us watch from Shaw Brothers, which is the popular genres, martial arts being the main one. I dig that so much, especially when you get the same stars appearing in modern movies. The switch to modern contemporary settings or was always cool and fun. This obviously opens up discussion in terms of the violence in this movie, which is not, it is violent and gory, but obviously a bit more primitive. But did you think it was more fun or still disturbing the way this presents violence, this movie? Because a lot of crotch violence.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say, sort of, you know, it's kind of sort of obviously considerably sort of lighter than you know, Avengers. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a different time. Industry was in a different place, but it wouldn't. Nothing really sort of disturbing. Mm-hmm. Nothing sort of bothered me unduly.
But therefore, did you have fun with it, watching her vengeance in this way?
Because it's presented in a different way. You sort of your response is different. There's definitely
it's Kung Fu Revenge, which is pretty cool. It doesn't make it light because it's slightly darker, but it's cool nonetheless. That she, you have some bashing and scrotum kicks and scrotum stabbings. And that presents this movie's teeth, the various stabbings in the cock, and it's kind of satisfying. Though. Obviously, audiences must be satisfied, watching this stuff. Get him, rooting for Chen-Ping, who is definitely not, as in the beginning of the movie, she develops into more playful and more cunning. She uses her, female aura to trap and to, allure. And she definitely does that. And one of the best sequences is when she kills someone on the dance floor in the club. And that's someone, by the way, I don't know if you noticed that. That's Hoi Soo-hong, one of the Milky Way veterans. He's been in tons of Milky Way movies. Slightly obese, always has glasses, a bit bald. In Milky Way movies, I'm gonna show you an image of Hoi Soo-hong. Where the hell is he?
Oh, bloody hell!
Yes, that's him. Yeah, a bit. He's a bit younger. Yeah, but that's him. He's the porno director, if you will. And that's where the music plays him in the disco scene. The intensity of the music and the editing. And then that sort of unseen murder on the dance floor happens. It's really the best usage of the soundtrack because it's louder, 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 louder. So that's a fun little aside. He's usually a bit more lighter character in Milky Way movies, and here he's the porno director. Still looks a bit goofy, I mean, he's not super handsome and never was really, but more handsome in his later years, really, compared to here.
Oh man!
But I'm sure this was shocking enough at the time, but it's unfair to compare to her Avengers all of this. But, but what her Avengers doesn't have is throwing cards foo.
Yeah.
I mean, here's where the movie just turned right downright. It's still a rape revenge movie, but here where it drops all notions of reality and notions of you gotta feel disturbed. Here, but I'm on board with that stuff. She's taught to throw cards, but those cards have little razor blades on them too. So did you think the movie strayed from what it was intending, or you thought that was just fun to have?
No, I bought into that. I like seeing that. You've seen that in this sort of a few films. They're throwing the cards a bit, but it's. It's a different sort of it's a different kind of thing. So you kind of I didn't find it difficult to accept these particular kind of elements. It didn't seem strange to me. Obviously, it gives it a different feel.
Yeah.
When you start doing things like that, and
The movie had kind of set up that it was aiming, it wasn't going to be super gloomy anyway.
No.
This was not the first sign of that.
Yeah,
and they were shamelessly aiming for fun, these filmmakers. Which I like. That's kind of brave, getting think the pickaxe to the scrotum scene happens after this, and that's just. I don't know. I find it fun that that's how they wanted to really focus on the primary point of revenge. Primary was that. Men's scrotums. So it's all good. All good fun. One of the things that Ho Meng-hwa overdoes is the flashbacks, actually, to the rape, because so that we recognize that the characters she's taken out actually were part of the rape. I mean, we do remember Chan Chen having, you know, obviously the scratch marks on his head. We know that. So the flashbacks in red, I thought, was kind of overdone, but never in the way of the film, though.
Yeah.
Fan Mei Sheng, I hope you recognize, though. Fan Mei Sheng from Magnificent Butcher and various roles as one of the slightly larger thug.
Yeah, the big guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was a player at Shaw Brothers, even without looking at, like, his hair all wild and facial hair. He was often always very distinct. So it's fun to see him. Period. I always liked him. And he's obviously in Story of Ricky as well, playing the one-eyed warden with a hook for a hand, I believe. and he's also the father of Fan Siu Wong, the star of Story of Ricky. So it's a father-son relationship on screen as well in Story of Ricky. Yeah. One of the only really nasty sights, really nasty violence in this movie is that, like, the at the end, speaking of Fan Mei Sheng, where he has those what are they called, brass knuckles with spikes on them.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he shoves that in her face. Mm. That kind of, whoa, ouch. That was the only, like, time where the violence got, you know, remotely disturbing. It's just fun watching her kick ass. And, you know, it's a batshit, partially, this movie. You know, it's not balletic kung fu or anything, but just bashing. And then Lolita obviously joins in towards the end. I just find that fun. I find it satisfying. This movie is not necessarily very logical in the way it's set up, the kind of story it uses, but I just find it went from each thing that it does smoothly, and it, you know, it's very shameless, but I don't mind that it's shameless, you know. It's also curious that this is not necessarily a super famous movie, but that it was picked up, that they wanted to remake this, that they had this in the back of their minds when creating Her Vengeance. Because it's no one-armed swordsman, it's no King Boxer, it's no big Chang Chen movie or anything like that. It's yet another of the Shaw Brothers movies, yet another Lolita, one of Chen Ping's first, where she did get kind of famous, but this was not the one on everybody's mind.
Yeah, it's interesting, because, I mean, given the time that they were both made, I mean, someone must have seen this at some point, or, you know, and there was no, you know, in those, I mean, it's, Her Avengers was ACA, so that's even the early days of, fairly early days of sort of video even.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for them to sort of have seen, or, you know, Kiss of Death, or to have, you know, to read about it and kind of, you know, gotten the idea to sort of, do a modern sort of redo, you know, another go at this, very kind of similar story. I mean, you know, I wonder where they kind of, you know, they picked up on it, you know.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not sure it was at Shaw Brothers, but not at this point. He joined Shaw Brothers later. I think one of his first credits is around about mid-70s. 75 was his first cinematography credit. So, but yeah, he since he worked that close to the original production date of Kiss of Death, he obviously was. He could have been the one that was aware of it. More firmly, and maybe other involved in the production, Lam Ching Ying, who knows, but there's no document on this. But my final note before a brief summary, one thing that I've learned from a friend and from watching movies, that Shaw Brothers sound effects at this point in the 70s, the very they were louder than they were subsequently, these hitting sound effects. My friend had a theory that this was done for censorship purposes. Censorship thought it was too much. It was too violent the way they inserted Foley effects, obviously, after the fact. And it's true that these movies definitely weren't as loud as the 70s went on. These kind of bashes. So you compare the Chinese Boxer or this or or two similar movies a few years after, it's not, they're definitely not as loud, as not as in your face with the fighting sound effects, which is a curious thing, and I like it better this way, definitely. You see, if you look at the whole finale with Chen Ping versus a lot of guys, and when Lolita is afraid, that's the one where you notice those sound effects the most, where it's all, where it's chaos in that regard. But I like it. I had great fun with it. I've never seen it before, and it was cool to I found this out just prior to planning the show, planning the director series 5, and it was cool to be able to draw the line back to the 70s in that regard. Was the death overall did you like having the experience based on that fact that it was connected to her Avengers, or on its own you thought it was an acceptable sufficient time?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see, you know, the film that is sort of, you know, clearly is the basis, you know, for her vengeance, and you know, it's technically it's a very solid film. And what now, you know, because by the time I watched this, I'd seen, you know, I'd watched both cuts of Her Vengeance, and sort of, so, you know, I was sort of had that sort of style of that film kind of, you know, in the sort of forefront, you yeah. know, of my mind. So I think I'm actually going to go back and give this another look, you know, having had a sort of, you know, more of a sort of a degree of sort of separation from you know, Her Vengeance now, so it's not quite so fresh in my mind, so I can kind of give this kind of a another look, and it's, you know, take it more for its for what it is rather than what it, you know, or what it's not.
So you're not as, you were a bit Her Vengeance out.
Yeah, it's kind of I was kind of really sort of tuned into that sort of style and right. that film. It's, you know, it's, obviously it's a different era, it's a different kind of thing entirely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. It's always cool when you feel like you want to revisit the movie that you weren't fully on board with the first time. So why not at a later podcast on fire, you can go over this again, who knows, and see how it compares to your views on this episode. And that is the episode, really, for the Podcast on Fire Network bonus episode section number 4, done with on Kiss of Death, and therefore the full Her Vengeance coverage is also done. So thanks for following us this far, all the way into the bonus episode. So I've been your host for this one as well, Kenny B, and with me was Hong Kong Dave.
Right.